Welcome to ReChurch. I'm Marshall Fant, the Director of Church Consulting and Strategic Planning for Gospel Fellowship Association Missions. My purpose is to encourage pastors and church leaders as you refocus, renew, and revitalize your churches. We've established this podcast to offer practical tips and suggestions as you equip disciples to make disciples. Marshall Fant, welcome back to GFA Missions Podcast ReChurch. So glad to have you with us, joining by either video or audio, either on YouTube or one of your favorite podcast platforms. We do welcome you and thank you for coming along beside us for this. Be sure and let us know if there's any way we can help you. Or if you have a topic you'd like for us to discuss, you can email me, mfant@gfamissions.org. And actually, today's topic in the podcast was a request from a listener. The topic is this: should I create and host a podcast for my church? So, Joe Fant, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, so, Joe is no stranger to the podcast world and our world, and he has done this, and he's got an interesting story with their podcast, and one reason I want to talk it through. So, the background with the question was this: okay, if I start one, what equipment do I need? How long will it take? What do I do? Why should I start it? And so I sent these questions to Joe because Joe's been on both ends of this. So he's had one. They paused it, and now they're praying about reintroducing it. So I think I want to give you that right. Is that right, Joe? So I wanted to get them that up front.
Yeah, we started a podcast several years ago. It was actually a brainchild of my wife's. She had an idea of communicating with some of the ladies in the church through a podcast, and then through a series of conversations, we ended up getting all the equipment to be able to do a general podcast for our church. Yep. Okay. So that started several years ago, and then we're currently on a hiatus, a break, to be determined whether or not we're going to continue, however you want to say it. We had a good run of about a little over 2 years of doing the podcast every week, and now we're taking a break and trying to figure out whether or not we want to start it back up.
All right, so let's break this down. Okay, so when you think about a podcast, just you mentioned so outside communicating with your wife's desire, Becky's desire to communicate with the ladies, what else were y'all trying to accomplish?
So we had no desire to take our podcast outside of our local community. So what we were trying to accomplish was not to say, hey, we've got a message that more people need to hear, but we wanted to be able to have conversations with our church family, because we were discovering that even though we had Sunday school where everybody wasn't all together, we had Sunday morning, but you can only deal with so much in a sermon, and there would be people who'd have questions or perhaps, you know, little rabbit trails that we'd want to take in our sermons or in our Sunday school lessons that we didn't have time for, and yet we thought would be helpful for our people. And so the first purpose was to have, we call them informal ministry discussions, is kind of the way we thought about it. So we're going to sit down, somebody can ask a question, we're going to, you know, maybe I was preaching on the baptism of Christ, and we want to talk a little bit about baptism. What purpose does it have? And rather than just taking, you know, 90 seconds in a sermon to deal with the topic of baptism, taking a full 20 minutes and talking about it, how we view it, how people should think about things like that. Just let's take a rabbit trail. Let's talk about this topic that was brought up on Sunday morning, and let's go in depth. So that was one of the reasons.
All right. So if you did it 2 years, again, for our listeners' sake, I do a talk track to kind of help us know where to go. So this is not on the talk track, okay? So this just hit me when you said that. So have you found, all right, so you did it 2 years. So as you did the 2 years and you built a library, do you ever send people back to podcasts you recorded?
Yes.
Has that been used? Or especially when I'm talking about baptism. Okay, so if the discussion came up.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, so we've done that. Did one on so I recorded a podcast specifically for that purpose, actually. So I did a podcast episode that was nothing but reading passages of scripture about suffering with background music. And it ended up being probably, I think it was somewhere between 18 and 20 minutes of just, I had it all prepared and just read it all the way through. And I would go back, I would go to people in the hospital and pull out that podcast when they were sitting by themselves and have them play. It's just scripture. And it was scripture being read by their pastor, you know? And so things like that, there were some things that, that we'd point people to, but, that was the main one.
All right. Yeah. So let me ask you, so that in that aspect, it was helping you shepherd the congregation, especially any other aspects of podcasts, you could say, okay, this helped me shepherd.
So we would have the informal ministry discussions that would kind of bring people into the next level. Then we did some new member interviews to where somebody would, you know, it's interesting, not everybody wanted to be involved in it. So we didn't do a lot of them. We started out with two or three that were really strong. And then people were hesitant to sit down and talk in front of a microphone. So we didn't do all of our new members, but membership interviews. We have a couple in our church who are career missionaries in Papua New Guinea. And so we had them on for, it ended up being like an hour discussion split up into two podcasts of him telling stories about pioneering missions movements in the jungle. And that was a fascinating, you know, just interviewing someone at the church like that. And then we would do missionary interviews as well. So we'd call in if somebody came, we did this a couple times. If somebody was visiting, we'd then sit down with them and interview them on the podcast as well. Like we do Kids for Truth program. So when Bob Roberts came through, you know, things like that, just talking about ministry and stuff like that.
Yeah. So again, this was internal.
Yep. It's all meant for our people.
Yeah. For the Community Baptist. I think, all right. So the reason I want to bring that back up, I think it's important and you can comment that you need to define that up front, whether your local church, your church podcast is going to be internal, external, or combination.
Yep.
Because that's really going to set the direction, right?
Yeah, and I think I wanted it. The reason that it's so helpful when it's internal is that you don't have to track stats and you're not worried about stats. Like for us, it was, okay, we have this podcast available. Here's where it is. We'd mention it in announcements probably about once a month. It allowed us to speak to our people about what we were doing. Here's another thing that we did. We tried all sorts of stuff. We tried doing something called In the News, where we would take local news and come at it from a biblical perspective. That lasted all of about a week. we tried all sorts of stuff. One of the ones that really seemed to bless people in our church were those that were talking specifically to our congregation, like, hey, we've got this thing coming up. Let's talk about the purpose of it. What is the purpose of Vacation Bible School? What is the purpose of our family fun night, whatever it would be? And every month we introduce a hymn to our church that most of our people wouldn't know. Sometimes we go way back to a really old one. Sometimes we do a newer one. And we would actually talk about why we chose this hymn this month. What is it talking about? And spend 20 minutes just talking about the Bible references, passages, theological things that it would talk about that we could sing about, and what to notice and why we chose it, everything like that. And those seemed to be really helpful for people because it was obvious that we weren't just pulling things out of our hat, that we had something that we had thought through and we could actually talk about it like that.
All right. So we got those basics out of the way. So I want to ask you some more. I want to shift to the technical side. Okay.
Okay.
So let's talk about the financial commitment and what kind of equipment you started with. All right. So first, recording, editing, and posting. All right. So what kind of financial commitment and what equipment did you start with? Did you have it already ready, or is this something, because you have a school as well, right?
Yep. We've got a Christian school.
Yeah. So did you buy new equipment or did you have something?
Yeah. So we tried originally to use, microphones we already had at the church, stuff we'd use for music and stuff like that, but it didn't work well at all. And we found that the easiest thing, because I was doing the recording, I was doing the editing, I was doing the posting and everything.
All right, stop right there. Whoa. Say that, repeat that.
Yeah, I was doing the recording, the posting, the editing, and that's one reason why we're not doing it anymore.
That was part of this layout. Yeah. All right, so proceed.
Yeah, so we bought Rode has microphones that are really good quality for less expensive than things like a Shure podcast microphone. Yep.
We have four here in the office.
Yep,
we have this Shures. One and we have four yep. Rodes. Yeah.
Yep. Okay, Rodes. So so I think our microphones like $100 a piece, and then we got a tabletop kind of like yours, a tabletop mount there, and those were like maybe $40-$50 a piece. And then I bought a little like a mixer. It's and it would go into that and then actually into my iPad into GarageBand. All right. And so I just set up GarageBand and hit record. There were a lot of things that it was not perfect. In fact, there are a lot of times it was super frustrating because it would stop or it would start and we'd have to pause it, but it was cheap. And so I think all in from the entire setup, we had well under $1,000, into the equipment. Okay. All right. And then after that, you know, it's mainly time and energy, but that was our setup.
All right. Know? So with that, the other side of that would be how did you decide on the formatting? Was it going to be when sometimes it was just you speaking and sometimes it was interviews, right? Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yes. So Ben, it wasn't just me. So Ben Jaquo is on staff here as one of our associate pastors, and Ben and I were the ones who'd host the podcast.
Okay.
And, we're good friends. We had a good synergy of being able to joke back and forth or talk back and forth. And sometimes, depending on how we decided to split it up in our preparation, either I would ask the questions, he would answer them, or he would ask the questions that I would answer them, but it'd always go back and forth. And we try to tailor that based on our strengths. And then we bring a third person in to interview,
like a missionary,
perhaps a couple. Yeah. Missionary or a couple
or a new member
or a new member. Yep.
Yeah.
But it was always two people. It wasn't just one. And so we go back and forth. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. So let me ask you this. All right. With that. All right. So did you do this in your office? Did you have a separate room? Because you got space limitations, all kind of. Where did you do this?
So we sometimes do it in my office. Sometimes we do it in a side office that's over here that's a little more has a little more soundproofing. But honestly, it was just like a little table with micro. We did not do video. That's a whole nother bear.
Okay.
Which that's a whole nother level, which we, first of all, I don't think people want to look at us, but, but we did not do video. It was just audio. So we could do it pretty much in any quiet space. And it was just a little table with two microphones. He had his notes. I had my notes. And we had the iPad going to record, and we just hit it and go and just sit there and talk back and forth.
But so the point is, still had to set it up, right?
What's
or
that?
Not? Did it stay set up, or did
it
you
did
have to
not
set
stay set up? No, we had little clamps, and we'd have to set it up every time. And and that's the thing, is that we didn't have a place that we could leave set up. That'd be a really specific area that only get used, pretty infrequently.
That was when I was talking to some other pastors about this. That was the thing they said. Mm-hmm. You know, we come in, we had to set it up, we had to take it down because we didn't have room for just a designated podcast room. So that was a challenge. All right. Yep. So let's talk about the challenges. Okay. So outside taking up, setting down, buying the equipment, let's take that off the table. All right. So what was the biggest challenge you faced while you were doing it continually? Did you say once a week? Is that was your format?
Yep. So we record it once a week, usually record it on Tuesdays and post it on Thursdays. The hardships, we have something, we have a term we use here called you got to feed the beast. You know, when you create something that requires creativity, when you start something that requires constant creativity, you have to feed that and you have to continually, it has to be on your mind. You got to schedule it out. You have to continually feed and perform, because once people get used to that, then you have to always give it to them. And for some, that's good. Like Sunday morning sermon, that's a blessing. That's a pressure. But when you continually add those things, you can only do so many before you start to hit, basically a line where you're doing a lot of things, but you aren't doing them really well. And so the biggest thing for me was really, it wasn't the recording. It actually wasn't figuring out what to talk about really, or even, doing the actual podcast. It was the scheduling, the, actual technical recording side. And then after that, the editing. And then after the editing, then you got to figure out, okay, are we going to do music as an intro and outro? What happens if I mess up? I have to go in and cut and all this kind of stuff. And then I have to upload it, and then you have to post it. And it ended up taking hours of my time that I really needed to spend somewhere else.
Yeah.
And so that's right. That's the hardest part for me. It wasn't, I mean, we had a whole list. We had another 30 topics that we could have talked about on our list. But the scheduling, the recording, specifically the technical side of recording, posting, recording, editing, and posting takes a long time.
If you want to do it well.
If you want. And see, that's one of the problems is that it's so easy to do it well. I shouldn't say easy. It's easier than it used to be.
Right. You know?
And so everybody has a podcast. And if it's not done well, you actually lose some of the you lose a little bit of your validity of your of whether or not people actually want to listen to you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do it, you have to do it right.
One of the other pastors interviewed, so his number one challenge was content. To keep the you had extra content, but your main pressure was time.
Yeah, because if we're recording once a week, we have a resource center, for lack of a better term. It's like a bookstore that's in our lobby. A big bookcase. So we would just do on a rotation of we'd highlight something in the bookstore or the resource center. And then we talk about something on the sermon the next week. And then we do our hymn of the month the next week. And then perhaps we do an interview. So we were not lacking because we're only doing it, publishing it once a week. We weren't lacking for what to talk about. It was the technical side of things that that was really hard. And the people of the church loved it. I mean, we would hear all the time of people who had actually moved away but continued listening,
right?
Or that it was super helpful. When we stopped, we're having people asking us when we're going to start it again. And so the church really, really was enjoying it, but it wasn't something that was sustainable on the technical side.
All right. So really when it came down to it, it came down to a balance of your time. Mm-hmm. And energy to do it versus all the other shepherding responsibilities. Is that fair to put it that way?
Yeah. And I had one of my seminary professors said, you know, every time that you do a podcast or write an article that someone has not asked you to write or record, there's someone in your church who needs visiting that you didn't visit. And that really stuck with me, you know, because we're doing this and it was, in one sense, it was fun. In another sense, it was helpful to shepherd our congregation, but there were more pressing shepherding needs that were on my heart that I was not able to get to because I was giving myself to this.
Yeah. Okay. And I think that's going to be the balance that some that people have to weigh out. What you just said was okay. Cause if you do this, it's going to take this much time and effort that is going to rob you of other good ministry you could be doing.
Yep.
So I think the question's got to be, can the podcast enhance your shepherding, or is it going to take away from your shepherding?
Yeah, and I think so. For me, it was if we could set up, and this is what we're trying to figure out, if we could set up the podcast so that Ben and I could spend prep time, sit down, record, and walk away to the next thing, it would be 100% worth it. Because it'd be the same thing as having coffee with somebody in the church who's asked this question. Hey, why did you choose that hymn of the month? Or, hey, can you explain this a little bit more? That's an awesome shepherding opportunity. But God has given me the responsibility of bringing the word to bear to our church, publicly, privately, small group, and the technology aspect of it, the tech side that was sucking up so many hours. I didn't feel like was a good use of that.
Yeah. So, I mean, as you look at it, it was something good to do.
Oh,
yeah. And you may reintroduce it.
Yes.
Right. Yep. But you got to find a better.
Oh, yeah. In an ideal world, it worked really well. In fact, it enabled us to talk about some concepts that our church people would not have been able to hear my heart on. In that case, it was great.
So go back and remind us. I think you mentioned it, but I forgot. The average podcast, not the one of reading scripture with the music for somebody suffering, but the average podcast, the hymn of the month or highlighting a resource. What was the average length of that?
Hymn of the Month, we tried to keep to 12 to 15 minutes. All the others between 20 and 25.
Okay. Were you able to stay on that track, 20 to 25? Yes.
Very specifically, because we realized that that would be able to have somebody listen to it on their drive to work normally.
Yeah, and that was my question. Yeah.
20 to 25 minutes is the longest we would go. And because we're doing it every week. You know, if you're doing an hour podcast every week and somebody gets behind, catching up is almost smart. Yeah. Now, something that we continue to do is we have a podcast feed that is simply the recordings of our sermons. So people can follow our podcast at Community Baptist. It's called the Community Connection. And if they follow that, then our Sunday morning and Sunday evening messages will automatically be posted. I think Tuesday is Sunday morning and Thursday, Sunday evening, maybe something like that. But the Sunday morning and Sunday evening messages come in as podcasts, but that's not the same thing. And that's what we just got that wired in with our sound guys to be able to post that.
All right. So is that done automatically? I mean, technology wise, does it take, or does somebody have to go in and edit that, or tell me how that's done?
That's a great question. I think from my perspective, it's done automatically, but it is not done automatically. We've got a guy who runs our technology for our school and he runs our oversees our sound during our worship services. And he edits down the messages. So it's just the message and then posts them, but it's not a complicated editing process like a podcast is. It's just cutting the beginning and the end and then posting it.
All right. So one more question for those that and really for me as well. So I know you say you automatically send that out to those in your congregation. Is that what you told me?
Yeah. It's just posted as a new podcast. So if you subscribe to the channel, then it automatically gets posted. That way, if people want to listen to a sermon, they don't have to go find it. It comes to them.
Right. All right. So back to your podcast, when you were doing your weekly podcast of anywhere about 20 minutes, could they go back and find the older podcast? Was it on your website? Was it on a podcast platform? Where did you put those?
Yeah. So what we ended up doing was we ended up embedding, I think it was our Apple Podcasts. You can go in and actually embed that site on our website. And so underneath our sermon recordings, there was a podcast link as well. If we start this back up, we're going to change, is that we had our sermons and the podcast coming out on the same podcast. So you'd have, it was called the Community Connection. You'd have Sunday morning sermon, Sunday evening sermon, and then a podcast coming out on a different day each week. If I do it over again, I wouldn't do it that way. I would do a sermons feed, and then I would just do the podcast on a separate feed and a separate podcast. And the reason is because when you go back to find them, you have to weed through all these sermons, and you're looking for a specific podcast. When if you want a sermon, you can just go to Sermon Audio, which is what we use, and just find the sermons there.
Okay. All right. Now, and you may or may not be ready for this question, but what was the biggest challenge as you were producing the podcast that you're saying, wow, we hit a home run on that? Okay. So what I'm saying is men are thinking through this, and the guy that wrote me about it. So what was maybe that challenge, or maybe it wasn't a challenge. Maybe it all went pretty smoothly.
The challenge for us was all the tech stuff, the actual recording of it, the actual content wasn't really a challenge for us. Like everybody's going to have their own challenge. And the reason that I don't think it was a challenge for us is because Ben and I are close friends. We, like I said, we have pretty good synergy when it comes to recording. We talk over a lot of these issues anyway. So whether it's during a pastor's meeting, whether it's during a one-on-one meeting during the week or during a discipleship meeting, we're already talking about these issues. And so a lot of it, even sometimes in a meeting, we'll be talking and we think, you know what, we need to do a podcast on this. We need to talk through this on the podcast. And so for us, once we got into the actual recording of the content, it was great, but it was all the tech stuff. And the ones people liked the most were us talking about either controversial issues or current topics. And we were, and the reason that I didn't shy away from that kind of thing was because I was speaking specifically to our church. How do we respond to this in our area? How do, you know, what are we going to do about this? What do we believe about this? Where do we stand on this theological issue, whatever it would be? You know, where can we be different? Where do we need to agree and to talk through that? People seem to really enjoy those because that's what people want to talk about and questions they want to ask. And sometimes they're scared to ask.
Okay. So, all right, a couple more questions. And again, appreciate taking the time. Joe Fant, Community Baptist Church, South Bend, Indiana. So while you were recording over those years, did you take seasonal breaks or did you just do it every week?
So we would take seasonal breaks. We would do a fall and a spring and usually maybe one during the summer if we could, or two, depending on what our schedule was. Sometimes we would record two podcasts back to back. So we'd take a week and we knew we couldn't record next week. So we would record two this week and post them over the next 2 weeks. But yeah, we would take a fall season and a spring season and a couple during the summer as we could. Yeah, but I do think it's important. If the way that people get the most benefit out of it, in my opinion, this is just my opinion now, is that you have to be consistent. It's better to be short and simple and consistent than to post once every blue moon and deal with a long, unless you're doing long form journalism, which that's a different topic. But what we're talking about, you know, take one issue, talk about it 5 or 10 minutes, and then, you know, and then move on. But I think if it's just one person talking, people are going to tune out. You know, you need
I agree. All right, so let me ask you two more questions and we'll wrap it up. Was there a church podcast? Did you look at any other church podcast? I mean, like local churches that you did you research any of that? Did you look into or you just knew what you wanted to do?
I knew what we wanted to do because I didn't know of any other church podcasts that were doing it just for their church. Like my heart wasn't to start a podcast to expand our ministry. That's the last thing we need. You know, I wanted to do something for our church. And so we sat down and thought, okay, what is a way that we could do it for our church? And then we just kind of created it from scratch. Yeah.
All right, good. All right, last question. All right, so as you started it to where then you paused it, what evolved? Okay. What did you see evolve? All right. For instance, this is what I mean. All right. When I do a podcast, to me, it's almost like preaching a sermon. Mm-hmm. I got to do all my research. I got to get my talk tracks done. I got to line up everything. Sure. And then when I come to record, I got to be ready. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is boom. Okay. This is game time. You got to record because once you start it, it's out there. Like I say, you got to feed the beast. Like you, that's your wording. Okay. Yep. So, and to me, there's a large amount of energy that I have to put in to be ready and to record and to do guests. How many can I do a day, you know, whatever. So I've got to do that. So as it evolves, you know, different things. So as it evolved, did it evolve in any way? I mean, did it get like with me, did it get easier? Energy-wise, did it take a different format like you as a church gave you feedback? So just from beginning to where you paused it, what did you see change and for the better, okay, or any changes you saw?
Yeah, I think the actual content became easier because we kind of got in a rhythm of, here's how we need to be going. We can tell when we've about exhausted a subject and we need to just shut it down. What became harder was the continual, for me, I'm not naturally gifted administratively. Whether or not I'm gifted at all administratively, I think is up for debate. But the scheduling of, especially if you're gonna do members interviews of, hey, when can you come? When can my schedule work? When does your schedule work? And then also I started to dread the editing of it and I would not look forward to the podcast simply because I didn't want to set it all up and edit it. Although I loved the actual content, of right. what we're supposed to be doing. So that and what evolved for us in a good way was how we were going to actually interact each time. So we knew when we got to Hymn of the Month, we knew the pattern that we were going to hit, and we could sit down for 5 minutes and say, okay, you've got the history of the hymn. Okay. You've got who wrote it. You got a little bio on who wrote it. You got, I'll take the theological themes. You know, you can take the Bible verses, you pick a favorite verse, tell me why. I'll pick a favorite verse, I'll tell you why, and then we're good to go. And we knew that going in, so we had some prep work already done. So that for us wasn't the big deal. It was the scheduling of trying to get other people to be a part, and just the tech side of it, which you don't see. It looks so easy, but it's not. It doesn't happen automatically.
Got it. Yep. Great advice. All right. Any last words?
No, I think if you can do it for your church, it's an awesome opportunity to have conversations you couldn't have in any other vein, but you have to be ready and make a commitment to do it for a certain period of time. And like our commitment was, we're going to do this for a full year without worrying about who's listening or not, just so we can get it out there. Right. And that helped, you know, but just to commit to it. And again, it was such a blessing to our church. If there's a way for us to do it again, we'll do it. But we have to wait until it's sustainable.
Yep. Okay. Joe Fant, Community Baptist Church, South Bend, Indiana. As football season approaches, I hope your Notre Dame does well, except for against our Tigers. But other than that, great talking to you. Appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks.
You're listening to ReChurch, a podcast of Gospel Fellowship Association Missions. If you would like more information about our ministry or how we may assist you and your church, visit us at gfamissions.org/consulting.